We are going to continue in our study of the parables. How many of you are enjoying the parables thus far? I know I am. They're truly helping me in my daily walk. You know, it's amazing. We read the scriptures. You know, almost all of us read the scriptures every day. But it's kind of amazing when you're studying this stuff out and getting ready to preach it, or studying it out for a Bible study, and you're really digging into the Word. It does something different than just reading your Bible and you read, well, I got to read this so I can get through the Bible in a year, right? So I got to read these three chapters. We get it all done. Whew, man, I'm glad that was over. But then when you do the study, you dig into it and you dig into it and you dig into it and you dig into it. And one of the amazing things that I find about the Word of God is every time I dig, it takes me places. And then I'll come back and I'll dig, and it takes me somewhere else. And he just keeps adding more and more and more. The more I dig, the more I learn. The more I learn, the more I want to dig. And you all know me. I love rocks, so you know I like to dig, right? And the older I get, it's easier to dig into words than it is the earth. So guess where I find myself? In the Word of God. And I'm digging up treasure, and it's just awesome stuff. Now, as we look at this parable that we're going to be teaching on here today, we are in the book of Matthew. We are in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, and we're going to be dealing with the 10 virgins. And I'm going to take a little bit different twist today. You know, there's a lot of people out there who, in teaching on the virgins, we'll take this and it's, you know, well, you know, it's about the Holy Spirit and et cetera, et cetera. Well, I don't think Jesus was quite just that narrow-minded. I think there was a whole lot more that this parable spoke on. And one of the things that it spoke on was just simply the obvious of what is being stated here. And sometimes we overlook that. How many of us are spiritual people? If you're spirit-filled, you're a spiritual person, right? Okay, so we look at things and we want to find the spiritual in it. You know, we want the extreme. And God says, would you get out of the extreme sometimes and just take it for what it says? Okay, and it just so amazes me because, you know, God can give us a simple little lesson and we'll make it this complicated. How many of us have never done that? Right? We've never done that. God says, thou shalt. Or thou shalt not. And we're like, well, could you explain what that means? It's that simple. So we're going to look at this in a little bit simpler measure, because I am going to contend, where most will contend, that the oil that is being spoken of here is the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, I hate to tell you this, but I've never been able to buy or sell the Holy Spirit. Also, as a Christian, if I am indwelt with God and He has filled me, can I be emptied? You see, there's some problems when you take it to that degree. Now, I'll have conversations with folks who want to talk about it being the Holy Spirit, because I can see some of that. Remember, I've often said, parables break down when you take it to the nth degree. But there's a degree that we can look at this that it hardly breaks down at all. And that is the fact that when we're looking at these virgins and the lamp, doesn't Jesus say that we are the light of the world? Could it be, just possibly, maybe, on some level, He's talking about this lamp and this oil being our faith and the level thereof that we are filled? Remember what He said to Peter and the other apostles as they would fall short. You of little faith, how long will I endure you? Okay? And how many of us look at ourselves as being giants of the faith? I mean, nothing shaketh me. Right. The first little thing that comes along, we're running around looking for people to hold us up, right? So I contend to you here today, as one of, not the, as one of the ways that this can be interpreted, as one of the ways that this can be applied, is that what's being spoken of here is truly our faith. Okay? So let's look at it in that venue and let us read the Word of God. It says, then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." While they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." Blessed be the reading of the word of the Lord our God. Amen. In this parable, one of the things that I believe we're looking at here, and we need to understand, chapters 23 through 25 are a teaching preparing us for what is coming ahead. It's a preparation for the second coming of the Christ. Okay? And the whole portion here is for the church. And so this is to us, the church of Jesus Christ, as the church is being established, as Jesus is getting ready to go to the crucifixion and leave the church to us and allow us to work and move and be. He's showing us how things are going to be and what we need to be looking out for. So one of the things that we need to understand is that there are going to be those who are prepared and those who are not. Okay? There were 5 virgins who were prepared, and there were 5 virgins who were not prepared. They knew that there was going to be a wedding. They knew because they were invited. You just don't show up at a wedding, okay? There's an invitation given. If you remember, I spoke about that a little while back, that because in the parables here, it talked about the banquet feast. And he said, "Now go and get those who are out in the highways and the byways," and that's us, okay? The invitation was sent. The people received the invitation, and they went. And then they had to wait on the bridegroom, because you can't go into the wedding until the bridegroom gets there. He's the first one to enter in. That's Jesus Christ. He's the first one to enter in, and we praise him for that. So these 10 virgins were waiting. They had received the invitation, they had accepted the invitation, and they were waiting for him. 5 of them came with extra oil. They had no idea how long he was going to be. They knew they had to be prepared for whatever it was going to take. 5 of them just simply showed up and said, "Here we are." Took absolutely no preparation. There was no transformation. Please understand that. Because when we have been prepared by the Lord, we've been transformed. Okay, we are prepared now to go the long haul. Now, I need to ask all of you this question. How many of you are prepared to go the long haul today? How many of us, it takes a little bit of time. We got to work at it a little bit at a time. And as God gives us more oil, we're able to go a little bit longer. And God gives us more oil and we're able to go a little bit longer. And God gives us more oil and we're able to go a little bit longer. We rely upon the Lord. Our strength is where? In the Lord. Okay? The 5 foolish virgins, where was their strength? In themselves. It was in themselves. They had nothing extra. How many of you have anything extra in and of yourself? You know, one of the things I hate is when people, and when I worked for a living, you know, it's not like I don't work now, but I'm talking physical labor, okay? What I hated in the factory was when some of the guys would say to me, "You know, I gave 110% today and they didn't give me any gratification." Well, if you gave 110% today, that means yesterday you were only given 90%, because there's only 100% of you. You cannot give more than 100%. You can fudge the margins, and that's what we all do. How many of us are margin fudgers? This is 100% today, and it's really only 50%, right? I needed that 45-minute coffee break. You have no idea how hot that cup of cappuccino was. It had to cool down. And we expect the Lord to wait on us. He's coming at an hour that we don't know. And the only way we're going to make it to that place is if we rely on Him to give us what is necessary to get there. But we got to be willing to accept it, to receive it, and to carry it. The five foolish virgins weren't. They came in and of themselves, of their own accord. And when their light started to go out, I'm going to ask you this. I want you to think about this. You've all been here. We've all been here. Every one of us who's in Christ has been here. How many times have you been at it? And at it, and at it, and at it. And I'm talking in the church in a spiritual manner. We've been at it. Miss Gloria, how many times have you been praying, 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 praying? Lord, I'm praying! And you think you're about done. And all of a sudden, a fresh wind and a fresh fire comes along, doesn't it? And you realize, wow, Lord, forgive me. And all of a sudden, you can go what seems like forever. I remember the first time that happened to me. I was 20 feet up in a tree. There was a prayer vigil going on back in my home church, and I signed up for an hour slot. And I said, can I pray in the woods? And the person running the prayer vigil said, well, are you going to pray? I said, well, of course I'm going to pray. I'm your associate pastor. Yes, I'm going to pray. But you're going to be hunting. I'll hang up my bow. I don't want to have to come back to church. I'm going to be 3.5 hours away. I said, otherwise I'm not signing up. Well, no, we want you to sign up. So I started praying. At my appointed time, I started praying. I hung my bow up, took my hat off, got my Bible out of my bag. I'm sitting in my chair and I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying to the Lord. A whole bunch of stuff happened that day. I won't go into all of that. Ask me about it sometime, because this is where I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Never forget it. But when I came back to myself, I was supposed to pray for an hour. 3 hours went by, and I swore I only prayed for 5 minutes. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I still got 55 minutes yet to pray. And I looked at my watch, and it was 3 hours later. One of the most amazing things I've ever experienced. Talk about a full bottle of oil and a fire burning brighter than I could ever hope. Wow. I'll never forget that. Ask me about it sometime. Invite me to dinner, and I'll tell you all about it. See how I just did that? But we need to understand, are we fully prepared? Are we ready to give everything and then receive from Him what's necessary? Our faith is a feeble thing. How many of you have had times where you've doubted? Nobody in this room has ever doubted, right? We are all rock solid. You know, we've never had a time of trial or trouble. You know, every time something goes wrong, the first thing I do is call out Jesus, right? First time something goes wrong, I live. You do that too now? I'm not alone. Good company. Yeah, at work. One of the things that I think is amazing is I want you to look at this parable. Did the five virgins who were lacking know they were lacking? They didn't. When did they realize that they were lacking? When they woke up. Whoa, there's a revelation. Let's look at that. Because it says something here that we need to understand. Because I'm going to talk to the church in just a minute. It says here, but at midnight there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom comes out, come out to meet him. Then those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. What did they raise from? Well, they had gotten drowsy and began to sleep. Now, my question to you is this. How many of them got drowsy and started to fall asleep? All 10. Church, I'm talking to you. There are going to be times in our faith when we're going to grow weary and we're going to get tired and we're going to start falling asleep. And guess when God shows us that we're prepared? In the waking up. Because either you got it or you don't. And guess what? There's a great awakening coming. And that great awakening is when that trumpet blasts and the church of Jesus Christ goes woof, and it's out of here, and the world is going to be standing around saying, oh my gosh! Notice I didn't say, oh my God, because they're not going to know who to cry out for. What just happened? And the deceiver is already going to have it laid out as to how to overlay it so that he can smooth it over. This is the Antichrist. This is the book of Revelations, folks, that they're going to believe his lie. And everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, okay, that's what happened. Yeah, that's what happened. And their oil is going to go dry. And their lamp is going to go out. But we who were ready, our lamp has been filled unto eternity for our faith. And Christ Jesus has kept us. Even though we grew weary and got tired. And yeah, we sometimes fall asleep. Amen? But man, when God goes... Do you like how I did that? I slapped that mic on purpose. No, that'll hurt. I have to do it harder over there to make that noise. When he does that, whop. How many of you have ever gotten that 2x4 in the back of the head? He loves to wake us up that way, doesn't he? And when he does, are we prepared? Are we prepared? In Christ Jesus, we really are. It may take, and now I got to say this, you know, and you can ask anybody that knows me, ask the kids that went to West Virginia, until Pastor gets his first cup of coffee in him and maybe the second, you know, I'm a little cloudy-headed, you know, give me just a minute. All right? But once I get her together, now we can go, right? And that is sometimes what it's going to take. You know, we have to understand. Sometimes we got to wake up from that stupor a little bit before we can get things going. But in Christ Jesus, we're going to get those things going because he's filled us and we know who to turn to. We know where to turn. I think it's amazing because where did these virgins turn? Where did the foolish virgins turn? They turned to the other virgins. And said, give us some of your oil. And those other virgins, being the most uncharitable people in the world, said, no, go buy your own. You know, I've heard that preached that way. That, you know, that was one of the most uncharitable things. I cannot believe that is in the Bible. I heard a preacher say that. And I thought to myself, where's this guy coming from? Jesus is trying to teach us a lesson here. What's the lesson that we learn from that? Folks, I don't care what grandma did. I don't care what grandpa did. I don't care what your wife did. You're not getting in on somebody else's coattails. If you don't have the faith, you ain't getting in. It's not happening. You can go try to buy it from somebody else because you can't get it from me. There's only one that we can get faith from, and what is his name? That's the point of the parable. You cannot buy nor sell faith. Now, can we give it away? We can give it away in that we can introduce someone else to Christ. But there's a time coming when that's going to be impossible because they're not going to want to hear it. All right? But we need to be ready because when that time comes, we can't give it up. We can't say, yes, here, take it. Because if we do that, we've just sold Christ short. Do you understand the parable in that regard? Because there are going to be those who are going to say, Rick, give up your faith and believe in Allah, or we're going to cut your head off. And what are you going to say? Amen, dear brother. I'm in glory already. Send me home. Right? We need to understand what's being spoken of here. Because in faith we stand. I stand by faith. Huh? I think we sing that song, don't we? And this is what we're being taught. Jesus here is laying out a fundamental truth that you and I need to grab a hold of. One of the other things that it teaches is, how do we respond in crises? How do you respond in crises? I want you all to think about this. We've all been in crises before, okay? Miss Clara was in crises just yesterday. The fire sirens were going off. Did you hear them there at the house, Chuck? You were out in the woods. Missy, were you home? All those fire sirens going? That was Miss Clara. Of course, you knew that, being family, all right? Miss Clara rolled the car. That's why she's not here today. Okay, she rolled the car on Kimmerling's Road. And praise God, she's okay. She's bruised up. And I bet her hair hurts. Okay, from rolling that car over, totaled the car. She's alive. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord. Because that woman knows the Lord. All right? Her tomorrows could have ended in a moment. But she's here to praise the Lord. And there was a crisis in her life. There was a crisis in her life. You know what she said to me when she's talking to me on the phone? She's laughing. Miss Clara, we all know her, right? All right? She's laughing. And Clara, are you okay? Yeah. Yeah, but the car's totaled. The windows are blown out. And it was Daniel's car. And I'm thinking, oh, yeah, okay. We can laugh about that. She said, but praise God, I'm alive. Amen. And that's exactly what I grabbed a hold of. Amen. Amen. You're talking to me and you're telling me God is good. She had a crisis and she reached out in the right direction. How many times in life when crises come our way do we reach out in the right direction? Okay? I can tell story after story after story where God put me into a place of crises. And all to test me, all to try me, to see where I was going to reach out. Because I'm supposed to be sold out to Him. I'm supposed to be His man, right? You know, and I'll guarantee you right now, when they're going to amputate your leg at your hip, you know, you're doing some crying. And it ain't to the doctors. It is to the Lord. And it's amazing, because I got the leg. And I do praise the Lord. Now, He broke it a little bit later, okay, but He put it back together, praise the Lord. But every time He put me through a crisis, it was to see where I was going to turn. Am I going to stay steadfast? You know, in this crisis, these women, the five woke up, man, they were already there. They already had their oil. Because they were prepared. They had accepted Christ. They had accepted the Savior. And they were walking in it. Now, this is one of the things I want you to understand. Because in a crisis, these other women, they had accepted the invitation too, didn't they? They were in the church. They were singing the Hallelujah choirs. How many people in the church do you think are actually going to get to heaven? According to this, 50%. Think about that. That's what Jesus just said. According to what Jesus just said here, about 50% of the people in the church are going to get to heaven. Now, don't quote me on that you know, that's the actual number. But Jesus is showing us that there are people in the church who are in there because it's a good place to be. It's a comfortable place to be. They get up, they sing the Hallelujah choir. They get up, they take communion, they do the whole thing. But have they truly accepted the life-changing Jesus Christ into their lives to give them the strength and the perpetuity to do all things? For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And guess what? These people get to this place and they can't go any further. Why? Because instead of running to Jesus, they're going to run out and buy something from somebody else. Which leads us to the next portion that we need to understand. A lost opportunity is a lost opportunity. The scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews that we are to live as, in the book of Ephesians, that we are to live as wise, not as unwise, making the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. We need to understand that once an opportunity comes our way and we have allowed it to go by, it may never come back again. Now, God is a gracious God, right? He may allow it to come back around at another point in time. Did he do that with Israel? Yeah, how long did it take? 40 years, and that entire generation was what? Dead. Except two. Actually, three, if you think about it. Who was the third one? Everybody says two. There were three. Moses was still alive. But Jacob and Caleb. Everybody knows Jacob, but I wonder how many people remember Caleb. Or Joshua, I'm sorry, not Jacob. Joshua. Thank you, Ruth Ann. Just smack the preacher. I'll get it right. Thank you. That's why she's my sis. She keeps me straight. 40 years it took them to come back around. An opportunity lost because an entire generation didn't get to choose again. We need to make sure that when God puts the opportunities in front of us, that we're walking into those opportunities. Because when we let it go by, we're literally telling God no. Please understand that. There are so many times in our lives God puts an opportunity in front of us and we say no. How blessed do you think we would be if every opportunity God really ever put in front of us, we said yes to? Now, I'll guarantee you, some of us would be living a different life than we are right now. Amen. But boy, what a life it would be. So don't say no anymore. Take those opportunities. And that means risk. How many of us like risk? And I'm not talking the board game. Okay? You know, it's funny because when we're in our 20s and 30s, okay, we'll go to the bank and, you know, we'll put money away and we'll put it in a high-risk fund, right? Because we want that 25% interest. But as we get a little bit older, we start hedging our bets. Because, you know, I don't have quite so much time left, and, you know, I don't want to be squandering what I do have. So I'm going to put that in a secure fund where it's only earning 0.5% interest. But I know it's going to be 0.5% every day. That's the parable of the talents, isn't it? Wow. Do you see how Scripture speaks to Scripture? Do you see how mining out the Word takes you places that you'd have never thought of going in one parable that leads to another, that leads to another, that leads to another? Brothers and sisters, this parable is us. It's telling the church that we need to get it right. We need to understand that we can't, you know, there's a lot of things in life that we can transfer to our children, right? But the one thing you can't transfer is your faith. There are a lot of things in our life that are going to make us fall on our knees. But when we fall on our knees, whose name are we going to scream out? And there's a lot of things in life that we have no idea what's coming. But are we prepared? Are we so set in Christ that no matter what comes at us, we know the direction we're going as soon as our eyes are open? I hope I've opened your eyes to the parable of the 10 foolish and wise virgins. It's one of the ways that we can look at it. It's one I like. It's one that I hold to. And it's one I pray that will help transform your lives. Jesus Christ does a work in all of us. Can I get an amen? Amen? Would you rise to your feet with me? Lord Jesus, you are coming, and you are coming without warning. So, Lord God, I pray that as we have taken the communion this day, we do it in remembrance of you, that we would also do it knowing that you have fully prepared us. That it is not in and of ourselves that we live anymore, but it is in the fullness of your grace and your mercy that our lamp burns bright because you have filled us with your love and presence. That by the gift of faith you have given us, we have been prepared for everything that will come our way. May we respond to you in such a way as we would be poured out, as Paul says, poured out as a drink offering. That you would be glorified and that our lives would emulate you. That those around us, that as they look at us, they see the light of Christ shining brightly and eternally. For you, Father God, truly are the one eternal flame. And it's to you we give our praise and our hearts and all that we are. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.